Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're gathered here this morning. And Lord, as we talk about listening and hearing your voice, I pray that when we go from here, we'll have more confidence and more faith and more understanding as to what it means to hear your voice. And to be able to recognize your voice. And to know the freedom and the joy that comes from listening to you more intentionally and more regularly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I fundamentally believe that part of our nature as believers is to be able to hear the voice of God, and that it is all our destiny and part of our nature to be able to hear God's voice. And this really came alive for me a few years, sort of 10 or 12 years ago, when we were really pressing into understanding what it meant to actually be obedient to God, what it meant to listen to God, and whether that was part of our life. And since then, it's just the discovery that God is intricately interested in every part of our life. It's not just the big stuff of the kingdom of God in terms of the bigger picture. It's about right into being into the midst of everyday nitty-gritty life. Whether it's where do we go on holiday, where do we live, where is the job, how do we parent, how do we do our marriage, how do we be friends, what am I supposed to do today? And those sort of questions, I hope, will become the use and engagement with God on those sort of levels of intimacy in our lives, I hope will become clear as to why I think that's so key. And though there are seasons where I backtrack and withdraw because for all sorts of reasons, and we'll talk about those hopefully in the time we've got, and withdraw and stop listening to the Lord, I just know that if we're not listening to the Lord, we're coming out and operating and doing different our daily lives really from our own strength. And the freedom that comes from engaging with the Lord and asking him what we should be doing and how we should be behaving and what our daily lives look like brings such freedom to sort of say, well, I don't know if this is right, but I do believe I've asked the Lord, and I do believe that the Lord has said this, and therefore in faith I can be obedient and head that way. And then there's almost a freedom in, it's not a loss of responsibility, because our responsibility is to one, listen, and two, then be obedient. And we'll touch on that in a moment. But the freedom that comes and the joy that comes from saying, okay, Lord, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing in this situation. Or Lord, what does it look like for us as a family to do X, Y, and Z? One of my real sort of early wonderful impacts to begin some reality is that shopping's not my favorite pastime, unless I'm perhaps going to B&Q, which is a bit like a toy shop for a bloke often. And anyway, it was Christmas shopping, and Em's won't mind me saying that she's not necessarily always the easiest person to buy with, but buy for. But I equally don't find that easy, but I really felt that I wanted to do something special, and this is about 10 years ago, and wanted to buy her a piece of clothing. And generally Christmas shopping fills me with horror, and I get very nervous and very apprehensive, and the mind goes blank and I wander around aimlessly and have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. But it was really as a result of hearing the testimony of a friend of mine who talked about their shopping escapades with the Lord. Going shopping with the Lord is absolutely fantastic. It's about, okay, Lord, where am I supposed to be going? Do I have permission to buy this? Should I buy this? What should I get? And I went off down shopping, and I just said, Lord, I want to buy this clothing. Which shop should I go into? Which shop should I go into? Okay, I'll go into Monsoon. Okay, am I getting this? Am I getting that? I don't know what colors. Anyway, through this journey, I purchased a couple of dresses, which Ems still wears and loves now. I nailed it. But I hadn't a clue where I was starting. I hadn't a clue where I was meant to be doing. But I just said, okay, Lord, I can't do this. I need you. And I just listened in obedience. And that's just a testament of what we try and do as a whole. Let's take another aspect of life, tithing. Lord, what am I supposed to be doing tithing? What does that look like? What does it look like today? What does it look like this year? And God, we've just been obedient and trusting. There's the scriptures, and we'll talk about scriptures in a moment, give guidance. But actually, it's about the new covenant, is about generous giving. Well, what does generous giving look like in your situation, and your situation, and your situation, and my situation? And then just listening to the Lord and being obedient to him and responding to him. So that just gives, hopefully, a little flavor of where we're going. And we'll see how far we get. But the reality is that some of us can struggle to believe that God speaks to us now, and whether we can really, really hear the Lord. I believe passionately that he is speaking, and we'll talk about how he speaks to us in a moment. But why? Why should we... just before we go into it, just stop for a moment for yourself. And looking at that scale, 0 to 10, where in your own life, spirituality at the moment, do you think you're either regularly asking the Lord specific questions? And where, how specific do you ask? So what I mean by that is, Lord, am I supposed to wear red or green today? Now, that's a bit of a silly example, but that's very specific, not shall I wear clothes today? And do you ask every day, or is it just once a year, or what for you? Where would you, if 10 is Jesus, who, as we'll hear in a moment, did nothing other than what his father told him to do. He said nothing other than what his father told him to say. So he would be 10, constant listening. Where do you think you are at the moment? Okay, why? Why should we listen to God and hear him? Well, ultimately, it's about a relationship. And it's about breaking the constraints of living by the world's system and taking hold of our true identity as believers, sons and daughters of God, living in agreement with God. God, what do you want me to do in this situation? And here's something from Deuteronomy, and it's part of chapter 30 where there's lots of blessings. The early verse says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." This is not this verse. "For I command you today to love the Lord, to walk in his ways, and keep his commands. Then you will live and increase." And then it goes to this: "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him." We are designed to listen to his voice. And in that way, we can hold fast to him, and we will have a fruitful life. It's about intimacy. The importance about listening to God's voice is that we then are living in the revelation that God is giving us. It's not living out of someone else's revelation. Now, we'll come into, obviously, there's scripture and there's guidelines. But today, now, situation is absolutely unique to me and to you in that situation. And though there are guidelines, and we'll talk about the how in a moment, but we need to be able to say, okay, Lord, what are the choices that I'm supposed to be making at this moment? So the why we need to be listening to the Lord is because we're in relationship with him. It's about intimacy. It's about loving the Lord, listening to his voice, and holding fast to him. The second part of why we should be listening to the Lord is it's our nature. It's our inheritance in who we are as believers. As Christ in us, we're all designed to hear the Lord as a result of the Holy Spirit within us. John 10, the watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. We are the sheep listening to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. We need to know God's voice, calling us and directing us and guiding us. And actually that needs practice, and we are going to practice. We need to build confidence in ourselves to, is that me? Or is that the Lord? Or is that something else that is speaking to us? And that is only comes with confidence and practice and use, for want of a better phrase. So why do we need to hear God's voice? It's about relationship with God. It's about the fact that it's actually what we're supposed to be. It's our nature as believers. It's also, this is a couple of other verses about the fact that we are spiritual beings, and there is an unseen realm and there is the seen realm. Nature and the natural, what we see all around us, is the natural realm. It's what we can see. But as believers and as spiritual beings, there is a spiritual realm, and that is the unseen realms. And it's about asking, what is going on in the unseen realms? And Paul in 2 Corinthians, just to give two examples which illustrate, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And we live by faith, not by sight. It's about, okay, Lord, what's actually going on here? I see this situation, the natural eyes, the natural experience, the humanness in this situation tells us what's going on. But is that the whole picture? Actually, there's a spiritual dynamic to every aspect of our natural lives. We are more spiritual people than we are natural people. And therefore, we need to be asking what is going on in the unseen realms. And say, okay, Lord, what's actually going on? Classic example, in parenting. Why is my child behaving like that? What is going on? That's odd. What's going on? Lord, what's going on in this situation? Actually, they're upset about the way you treated them earlier this morning. Oh, my mistake. I am so sorry. Blah, blah, blah. Restore, restoration. And that's very, very real. That's very real. So it's about living, not by what, it's fixing our eyes and living by faith, not by sight. The other perhaps clincher, if all of that washes over you, is what did Jesus do? I only speak what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing. Or John 14:31, I do exactly what my Father commands me to do. There's all sorts. We could sit in those two. One of them's about obedience, Jesus being obedient, and we'll come on to obedience hopefully in time. But Jesus only did what his Father told him to do, or say what his Father said. If that's what Jesus was doing, which if you think about it in terms of a constant flow of revelation between the Father and the Son, constantly aware in any situation. Jesus, when he went around healing, hardly ever healed in exactly the same way. There was always something different going on. And so, what am I supposed to do in this situation? How do I tackle that? What do I say in this situation to the Pharisees, etc.? Jesus, so he's the 10 on that scale. Now, if Jesus needed to know constantly what he was supposed to do, don't you think that we probably do as well? And I find that the sort of clincher, for want of a better word. So that's a sort of summary of why. But how? How do we hear? Let's hear from you. How do you think we hear the voice of God in a number of, any ideas? Say again. You don't get from your parents.
No.
Yeah. No, would it just stick to at the moment. I'm just asking, how might we hear God's voice? What are the different mediums through which we might hear God's voice? If we ask God a question, how might we receive an answer? Scripture, yeah. Sorry? Proverbs? Others. Other people speaking. Yeah. Yeah. What about for us? Yes. Yeah. What about ourselves? In our thoughts? Yeah. So was he saying that was an audible voice? Yeah. Yeah. So minds, in their hearts, sort of intuition, dreams. Yeah. Someone said feelings. Is that feelings? Sort of inside feeling. What about physical? Has anybody experienced hearing things? And what I mean by that is sometimes people will feel physical pain, or which is not necessarily something they're experiencing, but there's an indication that, okay, someone's got a sore shoulder, can we pray for? So some people will pick up words from feelings that they're getting. Yeah, absolutely. So we get, in our minds, we get pictures. I see, generally when I listen to the Lord, I'm seeing pictures. Some people don't get pictures. We're all different, and we'll all sort of flow depending on who we are and how God has created us. We'll have sort of preferences or more natural ways of hearing. Some people see words or see sentences rather than pictures. So there's in the mind. There's the sort of in the imagination, the in the heart, the intuition, and in the soul, the sort of feelings. And we'll talk about that. Dreams. Someone mentioned dreams. We see a lot of that in Scripture. Scripture, yes, being directed to Scripture, or knowing a Scripture, or the Holy Spirit stirring a particular Scripture in a heart and bringing that up. And in the body, physical sensations, sort of whether you get a pain or a prompt or something as well. I know people who've experienced that. And then there are the physical sort of visions. I don't believe I've ever seen a vision. I know one or two people who have, and there are, of course, examples of those in the Bible. Peter with the vision of the blanket coming down with all the animals in there. Has anybody ever heard, seen a vision? Does anybody feel that they've, okay, fantastic. And the other one is the audible voice. There's one time when I thought I may have heard an audible voice, but then was not sure. But does anybody know that they've heard an audible voice of God? Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, sometimes we just know we've heard that, and it almost feels audible to us, even if it's not audible to others. And of course, again, we see that in scripture when God calls down, "This is my son in which I'm well pleased about," and the crowds heard a rumble of thunder, not actually the words. So our whole faculty of our humanity can respond to listening to the Father and hearing his voice. And so when I talk about hearing his voice, that's not specifically necessarily an audible voice, but it is being able to hear what the Lord is saying to us and leading us on. So those are some of the the practical ways in which we can receive an answer back from the Lord. So if we're going to ask the Lord a question, why have I put that? Immediately Jesus knew his spirit. Oh, that's the sort of the intuition. There's an example of Jesus saying, well, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in his heart. He picked up, that wasn't just an audible, that's just an example of sort of the intuition and the stirring in the spirit that Jesus experienced. But if we're going to hear the Lord and we pick something up, whether it's a word, whether it's a picture, whether it's a scripture of some kind, we've then got to know what actually it's meaning, and it's not always straightforward. And so there is very much the sort of principle of discernment. The principle of discernment. Is it from God or is it something else, and how do I apply it? The first thing to say is the sort of sense, the principle of resonance. Now, I'm not a musician, but you know, a tuning fork or something. If you knock that, and then there's that sort of vibration, the resonance that, and if you get the right resonance, it can smash glasses and all that sort of thing. You know, the sort of radio waves. The principle resonance is that when you receive something, there's just a resonance in you that just, yeah, that's right. It just feels right. Has anybody experienced that? Do you know what I mean when I talk like that? Yeah, there's a few nods. And if it doesn't resonate, then you need to be sort of thinking, is there something more I need to press into that rather than leap straight into being obedient to that that word? So the principle of resonance, when a bell or instrument resonates in a certain frequency, other bells and instruments with the same frequency resonate with it. When revelation is shared, it often resonates with people's hearts and spirits. So I'm just trying to think quite recently. Someone shared a word with me. And it was slightly, they hesitated to share it with me because they were a bit nervous it didn't quite make sense or it wasn't quite appropriate. And I knew, they said it and said, yeah, no, that's absolutely spot on. That resonates with me totally. Because he didn't know my situation, but it spoke right into how I was feeling and what was going on. So that's the principle of resonance, actually. It's almost that intuition. Does this feel right or does it not? The other thing is that if we get a word, a picture, is it in line with scripture? If there is something that is counter to scripture, then it just can't be from the Lord. Can't be from the Lord. So we believe that the scripture is the word of God. And if something doesn't align with it or is counter to scripture, now scripture doesn't hold all the answers in terms of all specific questions. And therefore, it's got to be in the nature of scripture. If it's not in line with scripture, then it's not from the Lord. It's always worth remembering in 1 Corinthians the verse, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. So if you're sharing a word with somebody or you're getting a word for yourself, there has to be some testing about whether it's strengthening, encouragement, or comforting. Now that doesn't mean that there isn't a place for strong words, because we're equally called to challenge each other in love and point things out. So if I'm living my life in an inappropriate way, then people should be speaking into my life and challenging me. That is the strengthening and encouragement in there. So it's not to say there isn't a place for hard words, but you need to be sure, is it for the good of the other person, or am I operating out of my own stuff? And so discernment, the principle of resonance, is it in line with Scripture? The other thing is it in line with the character of Jesus? Jesus is perfect theology. And if you can't imagine Jesus doing whatever you're suggesting or offering to another person or to yourself, you have to question whether that it's from the Lord, or is it from ourselves or from the enemy. So is it in line with Jesus' perfect theology? So that's discernment. But actually practically, again, holding those sort of principles in the background, when we get a word, then, or the process of hearing and understanding revelation, there are three principles. There's the revelation, there's the interpretation, and then there's application. So the revelation is asking the Lord a question. Lord, where are we going? Should we go on holiday this year? Should we go on holiday? That's my question, Lord. Don't know whether we should invest into going to a holiday this year. And you get a picture of, it's not going to be a very good example, but you get a picture of a tree. Okay, I trust that I hear from the Lord, and we'll talk about that. I've received something. I believe that that's from the Lord. Well, how does a tree answer the question? Do I go on holiday? Okay, so we need some interpretation. So, okay, Lord, you've given me a picture of the tree. I believe that in faith that that's from you, even though it makes no sense. What do you mean by that? And sitting and listening and allowing the Spirit to unpick. And it may be, oh, there's lots of trees. Yes, I sense that we should go camping in the New Forest. And the application is then actually going and applying that to the plans of our holidays. Now, it's not a very fluid example, and I could have thought of a better one. But the revelation is not always very clear as to what it necessarily is saying. It may be pointing us in a direction, but we need to sit there and say, okay, what is that scripture? What is that picture? What is that word? What is that sense? I mean, if it's a sense, it could be, you know, if I'm asked a question and get a feeling and I suddenly feel apprehensive about something, then maybe I'm thinking, okay, the interpretation is that, oh, this doesn't feel right. We shouldn't be doing this. Does that make sense? So there's a very, very clear sort of process when we're listening to God about, okay, what's the revelation? What's the interpretation and the application? Where this comes up, and we're going to do this in a moment, is really comes when we're listening, say, to encourage one another. And at the end, we're going to spend some time and say, okay, Lord, what would you wish to say to encourage the person I'm listening to, for in a moment? And you might get a picture of a waterfall. And you say to, I might say to Peter, I've got a picture for you. It's an encouraging word. It's a waterfall. And Peter will look at me and say, great, thanks. What am I supposed to do with that? Now, that may be, and we all need to take responsibility. Okay, that's all I got. I couldn't find out an interpretation. And Peter needs to go away and say, okay, Lord, I got this picture. I believe it's from you. what's the interpreter? What are you saying to me through this picture? But all of us, if I'm praying for Peter and I get this picture, I should say, okay, Lord, I've asked a specific question. What would you like to say to Peter to encourage him this morning? Therefore, what do you mean by the waterfall? And it might be that he is just a man that flows with love and living water and truth, and he is the waterfall. You know, and suddenly you've got something much more tangible rather than just a picture. Does that make sense? I'm coming up with examples that are very pictorial because that's normally how I get revelation. But some of you will get words, some of you will get scriptures, etc. And again, it's asking the same question. So there's revelation, interpretation, and application. The final aspect of asking the questions is be specific. You go into the Bible and people ask specific questions. Here's a number of examples. This is the nation of Israel wanting a king, and Saul has been selected, but they can't find him. So they inquire further of the Lord. Has the man come here yet? And the Lord said, yes, he has hidden himself among the baggage. God will respond with very specific responses. Here's a second one. 1 Samuel 23. This is, do the nation of Israel go up and attack the enemy? When David was told, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack? The Lord answered, go and attack. And then, but David's men said, here in Judah, we are afraid. How many more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces? Once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, go down. And a New Testament example of God speaking very, very specifically. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. And the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying, and in a vision he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. That's quite specific instructions. And you see it constantly through scripture. I know a woman who lost her diamond ring while she was shopping one Saturday afternoon. And through a series of asking questions, she ended up going to a department store, going to a particular area in the department store, and looking between two pillows that in the linen department, and there was her gold diamond ring. Because she said, Lord, where? Can't find it. I really love asking the Lord when I can't find things, because the Lord really does lead us. Not always, sometimes do I hear the right thing, but generally we find things because we ask the Lord. Ask specific questions. Do we in our lives ask specific questions? Give you an example. What do you want me to accomplish today in the morning? What is the enemy's assignment against you and I today? What's going to come and hit me? What's the strategy for my business? What's the strategy in this relationship that I'm struggling with? What are you asking of me? Do we go out tonight or do we stay in? Do we ask those people for dinner or do we not? What should we have for dinner or not? Do we go on holiday? Do we tithe? Now, some of those are very specific. Some of those are questions that we almost don't need to ask the Lord, i.e., do I tithe? The principle is we do tithe, but in a different season we might be tithing one thing and to what we're tithing in another season. And there may be a season in which the Lord says, don't tithe. Things are tight for you. Don't at this moment. But that there will be principles which you can stand alongside. Do you need to ask the Lord whether you need to get out of bed in the morning and go to work? Or get up to look after the family? Or whatever it is? The answer is no. We can overdo it. But equally, when we're still, when we're practicing and learning to do this, actually not being afraid to ask the Lord very specific questions, and then build your faith in the fact that you're listening and hearing the Lord, and you're discerning when you're listening, when you're hearing the Lord, and it's not just your voice or the enemy's voice. The last couple of years, for various reasons, I have been less proactive in asking the Lord about specifics. We may have hit things like, okay, Lord, should we go on holiday? And if so, where? How do we do this? But for various reasons, I've withdrawn. But as a result, I know that I end up living out of my own strength and my own wisdom, which means that I also lose confidence that I'm in line with what the Lord is leading me to do and guiding me to do. But the confidence that comes when you're saying, am I supposed to be doing this or am I supposed to be doing that? Lord, what's this going on in that situation? You build so much more confidence and freedom to actually get on with what you're asking. And not, and also you're not sitting there saying, oh, have I made the right decision? Should I have gone this way? Because you say, well, I trust the Lord. He's told me and I'm going in that direction. It's a wonderful freedom thing to do. So be specific. Just be specific. It's a wonderful thing. And don't be afraid to be specific. Very quickly, enabling and inhibiting. Our ability to hear the Lord is influenced by the state of our lives. Without doubt, sin will get in the way of our ability to hear the Lord. And we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. It's not, this isn't giving anybody a particularly hard time in any way. But if I'm angry with somebody, or if I'm angry with Emma or upset, my ability to be in a place of peace and hear the Lord, if I then ask a question, is totally inhibited because I am energized and still angry with Emma. Whereas if I go and ask for forgiveness, resolve that, then I meet a place of peace and into a greater place of holiness to be able to hear the Lord. Does that make sense? There's also these schemes of the enemy. The enemy will come in and try and confuse us and sow lies into our minds and distract us. So it's really important that we are alert to that and to know what's going on there. And before we ever pray, we always do a thing called protect the time. And basically, you and I all have the authority, because of who Christ is in us, to be able to silence the enemy, to silence our own flesh and our own personal desires. And that's always the challenge. Do I want to go on holiday? Yes, I do. But actually, is that allowed? Or not allowed, am I being released to by the Lord? So we shut down our flesh. We shut down the enemy's voice and distractions. And we say, we loose and welcome the Holy Spirit to speak. And by a very simple process, and I'm going to do it in a moment for us, I call protecting the time. And then it's a faith journey, because do I believe that the enemy is shut down in my authority? Yes. Do I believe that I can silence my own voices? Yes. Do I believe that the Holy Spirit is in us, here to speak? Yes. Scripture tells us all those things. Therefore, I'm going to ask a question, still myself, ask a question, and trust that what I get in revelation is an answer. And when you practice that and you get used to that and you gain confidence and experience, it is a wonderfully freeing and wonderful thing. Now, do we get it right every time? As in, do we make mistakes? Of course we do. Of course I do. Because we're human and we just get it wrong sometimes. And what I mean by that, we've misinterpreted those sort of a revelation, interpretation, application. We may have missed something, or we didn't have the whole picture. But I would say that the vast majority of time, if you start living in this, with this sort of, living in this way, you build up confidence and confidence and confidence, and see more and more freedom and living in line with what God is asking us to do. So that's the sort of enabling, and I'm conscious of time, and I want to pray. Let me just follow one last thing in a response. Our response, if we're going to ask the Lord a question, then our response needs to be obedient. And obedience really is critical in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Do I have another one of those? If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Responding to what we've heard in an immediate way, in a complete way, a willing way and a joyful way brings freedom and joy into our lives. And you'll only know that by actually stepping into it and doing it. But scriptures throughout tell us that actually that freedom comes from knowing the truth. The truth sets us free, and asking the Lord questions and then being obedient to what he's asking us to do. Don't hear obedience as in harsh discipline. In our culture and our society, obedience is a really, it's a word that comes with an edge and can come with a soreness. But in the kingdom of God, obedience brings protection. Obedience brings love. Obedience brings abundance and blessing. And if we're going to ask the Lord to do, for him to ask the Lord questions and to get answers, then our obligation in the journey is to do as he asks us to do, rather than, not sure I like that actually, I'm going to do what I'm going to do anyway. Well, there's right at the heart of rebellion as humanity, right there, going off and doing it in our own strength and in our own way. So, just to sort of summarize, there is something about the kingdom of God that the kingdom of God only expands as a whole through the collaboration between God and you and I. It's just the way that God has set the world up, which is the classic, why doesn't God do this and why doesn't God do that? Because there is something about what God has done that said, I am doing it in partnership with my loving creation, you and I. And therefore there is this collaboration between you and I. And when you and I learn to say, Lord, what am I supposed to do in this situation? How do I do that? There is the sweetness and the goodness of the kingdom of God that comes into that place, and we go and work out the kingdom of God. But it does take, it takes practice, it takes faith, but it isn't hard to do. It really, really isn't. I do know people, and maybe some of you here, sitting and saying, I never hear the Lord. I want to tell you, you're designed to hear the Lord. And it just takes small steps of faith to do it. Now, I want us to do it before we come to an end. It's almost 12. So I want us to do what I'd like to do. And if you don't want to do this, it's totally okay. Just sit and pray on your own. But what I would encourage you to do, probably just looking around, and because we're in rows, is I'm going to protect the time, but we're going to ask this question. Lord, what word of encouragement would you like me to share to the person who's right next, sitting next to you? Okay? And if you've got a pen or you can write down or just share it. Does that make sense? Is that, Is that okay? Give me some nods if you're okay with that. So if you're in a three, that's great. I know there's a one if you want to get into a pair or you want to, and those at the back, if you want to participate, then do. Otherwise, you know, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. So just check with your neighbor about whether, are you happy to do that? Yeah, a few nods. And I just want you to encourage, trust what comes into your mind. Okay, I'm going to protect the time as I would do in any situation. Okay, and then just trust what the Lord gives you. Sit and say, okay, Lord, what would you say? Trust what you get. If you're not sure what it means, then say, Lord, I've got this picture. What is the interpretation? And then when the two of you are ready, then share it. So let me pray. Lord Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're a God who speaks today and to us. I thank you, Lord, that we're designed to hear your voice. And right now, with the authority I have in Christ Jesus, I bind up our flesh and I silence our own words and our own knowledge of each other. I bind up the enemy's schemes and the distraction, and I command him to be silent right now. And I welcome the Holy Spirit to speak to us and that we would hear his voice. So Lord, what would you give to share with us that I can share with a person, a word of encouragement that's really specific to that individual today? And then when you feel you've got something and the other person's ready, just in faith, share it. Remember, it's something that will strengthen, it will encourage, and it will comfort. So you won't be handing a word that says, you're a terrible sinner. Okay? That is not the type of word that you will be getting. If you don't get anything, that's totally okay. Don't get into a panic. If you just sense something, then share it. But don't get in a panic. It's totally okay. If you don't get anything, that's fine. doing? I'm just, give me a sort of thumbs up if you've had a word or shared a word or a word sort of resonated. Yes. Yes. A few people. Yeah. Good. I just want to encourage, I just think this is so key for us in as believers. It's just what should be so normal, but it can be very alien. It can be sometimes very, if I want a better, scary, but actually if we integrate this into our daily lives, it's just extraordinary and brings such life and hope and freedom. And I would just encourage you to practice, because there is something about us gaining confidence, particularly if it's new to us or we haven't done it for a long time. I know that through the autumn and things, there's been times when I think I've needed to regain confidence in, am I hearing the Lord really? And that's where the enemy would wish to sort of bring criticism and unbelief and just undermine my faith in doing that. But I think it's absolutely critical. And it just brings such freedom to us all. So I hope that's been helpful. It is a bit of a canter through, but I hope that was just a helpful reminder, if that's new to you. If you've got any questions, I'll stay at the front, but otherwise it's coffee and release. Shall I just pray? Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for the words that have been released this morning into people's hearts, and we protect those and we pray that they would sit deeply in people's hearts. I pray, Lord Jesus, that what we've spoken of will bring new life and new shoots of expectation of hearing your voice going forward. And bless us as we go into the new week, Lord, and help us to ask questions of you in this coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.